Blog Talk Radio.
Strap on your seatbelt and prepare for takeoff. You're about to go on a journey. It's First Contact Radio with Joshua Poet.
All right, Dirk, thank you very much. This is Josh Poet. First Contact Radio is the show you're listening to. It is the 17th of September, 2019. What makes this an important day for our country is today is Constitution Day. 232 days ago, or years ago, our Constitution was created, and it's a very important time. We hear the word Constitution thrown out there a lot. We talk about the importance of the Constitution. We're aware of different aspects of it. It's nice that we are able to have this day to remind ourselves what that document's all about. So in that regard, the show is going to focus on the Constitution. And I have several good sites here for you to go follow up on and continue your journey of learning about this country, the land, what we're about. So the first one here is MountVernon.org. MountVernon.org, Building the Constitution. By 1787, the union between the states was unraveling. To save the young nation, delegates from 12 states met in Philadelphia, and with George Washington presiding, created a new form of government. Okay, so that is what was the basic point there. So the U.S. Constitution that created is a fundamental framework of America's system of government. The Constitution creates a government that puts power in the hands of the people. It separates the powers of government into three branches: legislative, which makes the laws, the executive, which executes the laws, and the judicial branch, which interprets the laws. It sets up a system of checks and balances that ensures that no one branch has too much power. It divides the power between the states and the federal government. Very important. Each state has the right to do what each state wants to do, but then the federal government is there to intervene, to assist. They weren't supposed to be the overriding principle or that controls everything. That wasn't the idea. It describes the purposes and duties of the government. It defines the scope and the limit of government power. It prescribes the system for electing representatives, establishes the process for the document's ratification and amendment, and outlines many rights and freedoms for the people. Good question people often ask is, what is the difference between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence? Well, though connected in spirit, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are separate, distinct documents. The Declaration of Independence was written in 1776. It was a list of grievances against the King of England intended to justify the separation from British rule. However, the Constitution was signed and written and signed in 1787, so that was some years later. It was 12 years later. It was a charter of government that came to be ratified by the states, and it continues to be the supreme law of the land. Both documents have played an important role in the American history and the spread of democratic ideals around the world. They were both signed at Independence Hall, steps away from where the National Constitution Center now stands. So you had the one document that was establishing freedom, independence. Britain was no longer going to be the ruling power. We were here in this land across the sea from Britain. They didn't need to be telling us what to do anymore. We could stand on our own 2 feet independent. And then once we started being independent, it came to be understood that we needed to, as a society, have a set of rules with which we would live by. Otherwise, we just are running around in a haphazard way, and it's, you know, like the wild, wild west, and that never really works out too good with that sort of mentality. You have to have a set of rules that everyone follows and applies to each and every individual, which is the beauty of all of this. The Constitution was written and signed in Philadelphia in the assembly room of the Philadelphia State House, known as Independence Hall. This is the same place where the Declaration of Independence was signed. The Constitution was written during the Philadelphia Convention, now known as the Constitutional Convention, which convened from May 25th to September 17th, 1787. It was signed on September 17th, 1787. Where is the Constitution? Is it at the National Constitution Center? So the National Constitution Center owns a rare original copy of the first public printing of the Constitution. This printing was published in a newspaper, the Pennsylvania Packet and Daily Advertiser on September 19, 1787, 2 days after the Constitution was signed. The Constitutional Convention was conducted under the oath of secrecy, so this printing represents the first time that Americans, we the people, saw the Constitution. The original signed handwritten Constitution is at the National Archives in Washington, D.C. Okay, who wrote the Constitution? Because many of James Madison's ideas made their way into the Constitution, he is often referred to as the father of the Constitution. Indeed, he was a driving force of the convention throughout the summer of 1787, and his notes in the deliberations have provided a valuable insight into the proceedings. However, the Constitution was the result of months of passionate, thoughtful deliberation among the delegates. Many others besides James Madison made important contributions, particularly those who served on the Committee of Detail, which included Oliver Ellsworth, Nathaniel Gorham, Edmund Randolph, John Rutledge, and James Wilson, and those on the Committee of Style, which included Alexander Hamilton, William Johnson, Rufus King, and Governor Morris. Other notable delegates included Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, who later served as president of the convention, or who did serve as president. All right, and then again, it was signed in 1787. Congress authorized delegates to gather in Philadelphia and recommend changes to the existing charter of government for the 13 states. The Articles of Confederation, which many Americans believed had created a weak and efficient central government. From the start of the convention, however, it became clear that the delegates were forming an entirely new form of government. The preamble of this history-changing document makes it clear why it was written. So let's get into the Constitution itself, the actual words. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, it's very important, that last phrase in there, for the United States of America, if you consider that in 1871, the United States became a corporation, it then became the Constitution of the United States of America, because it was now a different type of constitution that was kind of slipped by. So it's always important to understand that the original Constitution was for the United States of America, which are the people, for the people. If you take United States and just look at U.S., the Constitution for us, you know, that's how you know it was for the people, with the for. When you see the of, that's the corporation, which is different. Okay, so first article, the legislative powers are granted. Herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of the Senate and House of Representatives. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors and the most numerous branch of the state legislature. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained the age of 25 years and have been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he was chosen. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to the respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons including those vowing to service for a term of years and excluding Indians not taxed, 3/5 of all other persons. The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States and within every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall by direct law direct. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one representative, and until such enumeration shall be made, the state of New Hampshire shall be entitled to choose 3. Massachusetts, 8. Rhode Island and Providence Plantation, 1. Connecticut, 5. New York, 6. New Jersey, 4. Pennsylvania, 8. Delaware, 1. Maryland, 6. Virginia, 10. North Carolina, 5. South Carolina, 5. And Georgia, 3. When vacancies happen in the representatives from any state, the executive authority thereof shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies. The House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other offices and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Section 3, the Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from within the consequence of the first election. They shall be divided as equally as may be into 3 classes. The seats of the senator of the first class shall be vacated at the expiration of the second year, the second class at the expiration of the fourth year, and the third class at the expiration of the sixth year, so that 1/3 may be chosen every second year. And if vacancy happens by resignation or otherwise during the recess of the legislature of any state, the executive thereof may make temporary appointments until the next meeting of the legislature, which shall then fill such vacancies. No person shall be a senator who have not attained the age of 30 years and be 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. The Vice President of the United States shall be the President of the Senate, but shall have no vote unless they be equally divided. The Senate shall choose their other officers and also a President pro tempore in the absence of the Vice President, and then he shall exercise the office of the President of the United States. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for that purpose, they shall be an oath of affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside. No person shall be convicted without the concurrence of 2/3 of the members present. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than the removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States, but the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to law. Okay, so according to what it's saying here, it's talking that not only the president, but the party so attached right here, the party convicted. So it's a much bigger issue. It's not just always about one person, it seems. More to consider. Section 4, the time, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, but the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations, except as the places of choosing senators. Congress shall assemble at least once every year, and such meetings shall be on the first Monday in December. Okay. Section 5, each house shall be the judge of the election, return the qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do a business, but a smaller number may adjourn from day to day. They may be authorized to compel the attendance of absent members in such manner under such penalties, and each house may provide. Okay, Section 6, senators and representatives shall receive a compensation for their services to be ascertained by law and paid out of the Treasury of the United States. They shall, in all cases except treason, felony, and breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during the attendance at the sessions of the respective houses and in going to and returning from the same, and for any speech or debate in the House, they shall not be questioned in any other place. No senator or representative shall, during the time for which he was elected, be appointed to any civil office under authority of the United States, and shall have been created, or the emoluments whereof shall have been increased during such time, and no person holding any office under the United States shall be a member of either House during his continuance in office. Section 7, all bills raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose to concur with amendments as in other bills. Every bill which shall have passed the House of Representatives, the Senate shall, before it becomes law, be presented to the President of the United States. If he approve, he shall sign it, but if not, he shall return it with his objections to that House in which it shall have originated, who shall enter objections at large on the journal and proceed to reconsider it. If after such reconsideration, two-thirds of that House shall agree to pass the bill, it shall be sent together with the objections to the other House, by which it shall all shall likewise be reconsidered, and if approved by the two-thirds of that House, it shall become a law. But in all cases, such cases, the votes of both houses shall be determined by yeas and nays, and the names of the persons voting for and against the bill shall be entered on the journal of each house respectively, and if any bill shall not be returned by the president within 10 days after it shall have been presented to him, the same shall be a law in like manner as if he had signed it, unless the Congress by their adjournment prevents its return, in which case it shall not be a law. Every order, resolution, or vote which the concurrence of the Senate and the House of Representatives may be necessary, except on a question of adjournment, shall be presented to the President of the United States, and before the same shall take effect, shall be approved by him, or being disapproved by him, shall be repassed by two-thirds of the Senate and House of Representatives according to the rules and limitations described in the case of a bill. Section 8, Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duty, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. To borrow the money on the credit of the United States, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes, to establish and uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States, to coin money, regulate the value thereof in a foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures, to provide for the punishment and counterfeiting of the securities in the current coin of the United States, to establish post offices and post roads, to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to the respective writings and discoveries, to constitute tribunals inferior to the superior Supreme Court, to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nations, to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and to make rules concerning captures on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a term longer than 2 years, to provide and maintain a navy, to make rules for the government and regulation for the land and naval forces, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections and repel invasions, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 square miles as may be by cessation of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over the place purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, and for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or any department or office thereof. Section 9, the migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to the year 1808, but a tax or duty may be posed on some such importation not exceeding $10 for each person. the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. No capitation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration therein before directed to be taken. No tax or duty shall be laid on the articles exported from any state. No preference shall be given by any regulation of commerce or revenue to the ports of one state over those of another, nor shall vessels bound to or from one state be obliged to enter, clear, or pay duties in another. No money shall be drawn from the treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law, and a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office, profit, or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, except of any president, emolument, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state. Section 10, no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. No state shall, without the consent of the Congress, lay any imposts or duties on imports or exports, except what they may be absolutely necessary for executing inspection laws and the net produce of all duties and imposts laid by any state on such imports or exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States, and all such laws shall be subject to the revision and the control of the Congress. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships in war, of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with the foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. Article 2, the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years, and together with the vice president chosen for the same term be elected as follows. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislator thereof may direct the number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress, but no senator or representative or person holding office or trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. Section 2, the president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy of the United States, and of the militia and of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States. He may require the opinion in the writing of the principal officer of each of the executive departments upon any subject relating to the duties of the respective offices, and he shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardon for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. He shall have power by and with the advice to the Senate to make treaties, provided 2/3 of the senators present concur, and he shall nominate and by and with the advice of the consent of the Senate shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for, and which shall be established by law. But the Congress may by law vest the appointment of such inferior officers as they think proper in the president alone, in the courts of law, or in the heads of departments. The president shall have the power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate granted by granting commissions which shall expire at the end of the next session. Section 3, he shall from time to time give the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. He may on extraordinary occasions convene both houses or either of them, and in case of disagreement between them with respect to the time of adjournment, he may adjourn them, and to such time he shall thing proper, he shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed and shall commission all the officers of the United States. Section 4, the president and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 3, Section 1, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time order and establish. The judges, both of the Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. Section 2, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law, equity arising under the Constitution, the laws of the United States, and the treaties made or which shall be made under their authority to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers, and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming land under grants of different states, and between the state and the citizens thereof in foreign states, citizens or subjects. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be a party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all of other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. The trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where the said crime shall have been committed, but when not committed with any state, the trial shall be at such place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. Section 3, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. The Congress shall have the power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attained. Article 4, Section 1, full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial things of every other state, and the Congress shall, by general law, prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved and the effect thereof. Section 2, the citizens of each state shall be entitled to all the privileges and immunities of the citizens in the several states. A person charged in any state with treason, felony, or other crime, who shall flee from justice and be found in another state, shall, on demand of the executive authority of the state from which he fled, be delivered up to be removed to the state having jurisdiction of the crime. Section 3, new states may be admitted by the Congress into the Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, nor any state formed by the junction of two or more states or parts of states without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned as well as the Congress. The Congress shall have the power to dispose of, make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or the property belonging to the United States, and nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claim to the United States of any particular state. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and an application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Article 5, the Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to the Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for the proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all interests and purposes as parts of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states or by the conventions in the three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress. provided that no amendment shall be made prior to the year 1808, shall in any manner affect the first or fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state without his consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. Article 6, all debts contracted and the engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederate. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof and of all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the consideration or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding, the senators and the representatives before mentioned, and members of the several states legislatures, and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by an oath or affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office, public trust, or public trust under the United States. In Article 7, the ratification of the Convention of the Nine States shall be sufficient for the establishment of this Constitution between the states so ratifying the same. The word "the" being interlined between the seventh and eighth lines of the first page. The word 30 being partly written on the on an eraser in the 15th line of the first page, the word is tried being interlinked between the 30th and the 33rd lines of the first page, and the word "the" being interlined between the 43rd and the 44th lines of the second page, attest William Jackson, Secretary, then convention by the unanimous consent of the states present the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787, and the independence of the United States of America, the 12th in witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names, George Washington, President and Deputy from Virginia, and then it has all the other names listed here. George Reed, Gunning Bedford, John Dixon, Richard Bassett, Jocko Broom, William Blount, Richard Dobbs, Spaeth, Hugh Williamson, John Langdon, Nicholas Gilman, Will Livingston, David Beardley, William Patterson, Jonah Dayton, B. Franklin, Benjamin Thomas Mifflin, Robert Morris, Geo Clymer, Thomas Fitzsimmons, Jared Ingersoll, James Wilson, Governor Morris, Nathaniel Gortham, Rufus King, William Samuel Johnson, Roger Sherman, Alexander Hamilton, Jay Rutledge, Charles Cotes Pinckney, Charles Pinckney, Pierce Butler, William Few, Abraham Baldwin, John Blair, James Madison Jr., John Henry, Dan of St. Thos, Bustiner, and Dan Carroll. So there you go. Those are all the people who signed it. This is from archives.gov. Anyway, that's it. Happy Constitution Day. It's important that we remember. You know, it's a long read, but it's not that long. It's been half an hour, 40 minutes. Got it all done. And, you know, it's very simple. And now we have a little bit more of an understanding. And if we learned and we built on this and we taught the young people this, we would have a much better way of understanding life, because we would see then when there are violations against the Constitution, because we can think of many examples throughout many, many years going back, you know, many, many presidents where this has been violated. So we want to get past that so we can start living